Hello, it's me, Lily, a frog who lives in a pond and loves to tell stories. Merry Christmas to you and happy holidays. You know, my pond is very, very frozen right now, and I'm glad to be warm and cozy in my little mud house underneath the ice and the snow. I know the stars are shining and the northern lights are blazing above me, but I can't see them all tucked in at the bottom of the pond. But I don't mind. I've got a nice pile of wood to burn in my wood stove and lots of tea to drink. Before I hibernate every year, I make sure to give Christmas presents to all the frogs and other creatures I love so much. I give sunflower seeds to birds I know, and to bears I like to give books, to squirrels, nuts of course, and for toads a nice wheel of fly cheese does nicely. And so on and so on. I write, "Do not open until December 25th on all the packages." And as I give, I get too. And so come December 25th, I have a nice pile of gifts to open that all say "To Lily" on them. And when I open my pile of gifts and look at them all, the elf games and the bottle of fairy mist, buttercup slippers and gingerbread and a book of bird songs to learn, and so on, I wonder, what's more marvelous, to have creatures who give me gifts, or to have creatures to give gifts to? Well, this story is about exactly that. It's more than 100 years old, and it's called The Gifts of the Magi, retold and rearranged by Marlene Werfel. Once upon a time, in a faraway city down a cobblestone alley where the milk wagons and the tinkers' caravans hurried by, because so few people had money enough to buy milk or a tin pot to warm it in from them, there lived a couple who counted their pennies every night across from each other at a worn wooden table while a candle smoldered and their baby slept in their single bed. It wouldn't have taken them long to count their pennies because there really were so few pennies to count between them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 pennies for wood to burn in the fireplace so that Della, that was the woman, could boil their water for tea and broth, and Jim, that was the man, could feed the fire to keep them warm at night. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 pennies for bread, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 more for butter, and never enough left over for shoes or wool to knit warm things with, never mind money set aside for books or honey or medicine. The tougher times got in the city, the smaller their stack of coins became, yet the longer it took Jim and Della to count them. This is because their minds were so busy with the impossible task of stretching that short stack of coins across so many needs. The fewer the coins, the more slowly Della would count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 coins for wood, and the slower Jim would count 1, 2, 3, 4 pennies for bread. Jim and Della both took on what odds and ends they could for work. Jim could write and do sums, and Della could sew and wash, but it was just never enough, and it seemed their jobs were getting fewer and further between. When it was Christmas time, it was clear that they didn't have enough coins to stay warm through the night, never mind to make a feast, so they did what the other families in the cobblestone alley where the milk wagons and tinkers' caravans hurried by did, which was to walk across the bridge to the charity house in the innermost city where they heard there would be Christmas dinner for all who asked for it, and even presents for children donated by people who had enough and more for their families. Della put on her best dress and brushed out her hair. Jim put on his best coat and hat, shined up his shoes, and put his gold watch in his pocket. Yes, a gold watch was Jim's prized possession, handed down to him by his father from his father's father. It was finely made and ornately engraved with dials and gems and a clockwork, ruby-throated hummingbird that traveled round the face of the watch to sup on the nectar of the sapphire flower at 12 o'clock. The watch was fine and precious, and when Jim held it in his hand, he felt fine, too. Instead of wearing his watch on the outside of his coat, as was the fashion of the time, Jim had to put his watch inside his vest pocket because he had no watch chain to hold it in place. Jim had sold the gold watch chain long ago to pay for the little apartment his young family lived in. Hand in hand, the couple walked across the bridge with their baby wrapped in their only blanket, admiring the dancing reflections of the gas lights in the river water below as they crossed over it. And then they waited in line at the charity house, hoping for some supper and whatever else could be gotten there. "Well, I wonder what time it is," said Jim, as they waited in the lineup together. "Oh, let me check my gold watch. I see it is 6:22. And he closed the watch up and put it back in his pocket. "Well, I wonder what time it is now," asked Jim, and he fetched his watch out of his pocket again and checked the time. "Oh, still 6:22 then." And he held the gold watch proudly in his hand. Well, Della laughed at this, and as she did, she tossed her beautiful long brown hair behind her, and Jim could feel the air grow chilly around them as the ladies in the lineup became so jealous of Della's marvelously lustrous hair. She didn't wear her hair up, as was the style of the times, for she owned no ribbons or combs or hairpins to clasp it up in. But still, it was the most magnificent hair in all the city, on either side of the bridge, probably in all the country, and most likely in all the world. It was such extraordinarily beautiful hair that people would just gasp in astonishment when they saw it flowing down around Della's pretty face. When Della laughed, her beauty was extravagant. It was colossal. But now, if Jim really knew what was in the hearts of the women standing in the lineup with them, he'd know they weren't as jealous of Della's hair as they were of the way Jim looked at Della. It was the way the moon looks perpetually at the earth, the way the three wise men gazed at the Star of David as they traveled, the way a soldier sees his home returned to after a many years long war. As if the rest of the world could just fall away, and who would care, because the most precious thing in all of it was right in his sights right then. It was the way that Jim and Della looked at each other that made those around them jealous. Not Della's hair or Jim's gold watch, but that way they had of holding each other fast in an orbit of true love. Well, there wasn't much food to be had when they got through the lineup, only some thin broth and some hard bread, but someone pressed an orange into Della's hand and said, "For the baby," and someone else gave Jim a bag of coal to burn, and so they'd be fed enough and warm enough for tonight. They pressed the segments of the orange to their little baby's lips, and they laughed at how her eyes lit up to taste something so nutritious and flavorful. There was one sorrow that kept Jim from sleeping that night, though, and that was that it wasn't him who gave the orange to his baby. He couldn't. He had nothing to give his family, and what kind of man had nothing to give his family, nothing to give to his beautiful wife for Christmas? Before they walked back over the bridge home, they had stopped in front of a store window where Della looked at a fine set of hair combs in the sparkling and gleaming shop window, and her eyes sparkled and gleamed too, just imagining owning anything so splendid and glittering. She laughed thinking about it. "And look, Jim," she'd said, "this one has a ruby-throated hummingbird on it, just like on your watch." Then Jim just couldn't get the idea out of his head of how fine his wife would look with those expensive combs and her beautiful hair. And why shouldn't his wife? the most beautiful woman on earth, own beautiful things. Well, the next day was Boxing Day, and Jim did follow up on a lead for some work he heard of, and Della stayed with the baby, and she couldn't stop thinking about Jim with his gold watch. How handsome and proud he looked holding it, and how handsome and proud he'd be with a watch chain to display it always on his chest where it belonged. I mean, who knows? Maybe if Jim looked like a rich man with a gold watch on his chest, maybe more prosperous days would return to them? Della had overheard in the long lineup at the charity house that hair like hers might fetch a price at the wig shop. And so she bundled up her baby and went to inquire. $20, said the proprietor of the wig shop, weighing Della's long, lustrous hair with a practiced hand. $20? Della nearly fell to her knees when she heard how much her hair was worth. Take it quickly. Take it all, she said, and soon she strode out of the shop without a strand of hair left on her head. But with $20 in her pocket. She went to the jeweler first, and she bought not just a gold watch chain and fob for Jim, but a platinum watch chain and fob for Jim, and she had just enough money left over to prepare a feast of honey-glazed ham, sweet potatoes, and gingered carrots. On New Year's Day, she'd present Jim with a watch chain for his watch, and a feast in his own home besides. Well, Jim worked long hours between Boxing Day and New Year's Eve, and when he returned home, the marvelous cooking smells were just the first surprise that greeted him. Then his beautiful wife, having forgotten how shocking she looked with no hair at all, ran to greet him with a kiss. "But your hair, Della," Jim cried. "Oh, no," remembered Della. "Oh, I do hope you still find me pretty. I sold my hair, Jim, so that I could buy you this." And she pulled from her apron pocket the platinum watch chain and fob, "so you can wear your gold watch as proudly as you should." Jim's jaw dropped. He could barely speak as he pulled from his pocket, not his watch, but the expensive set of combs that Della had seen in the shop window. "But I sold my watch, Della," said Jim, "so that I could buy you these combs for your hair." This 1905 story is called The Gifts of the Magi. Magi is another word for wise men, and it usually refers to the three wise men in the Christmas story who brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Do you think that Jim and Della were wise to sacrifice all they could to give gifts to each other? Do you think that having given these gifts to each other makes them poorer or richer than they were before?